Hey, friend, when you think of public relations or PR, what first comes to mind? Is it holiday gift guides, being on the Today Show? What if I told you that PR can often be more effective than social media or paid ads for boosting a business's credibility and visibility? That's exactly what today's guest is sharing. Gloria Chow is an award-winning PR strategist and the host of the top-rated Small Business PR podcast. Known for her untraditional yet proven approach to PR, which makes visibility and access to media accessible for anyone, Gloria helps BIPOC and female founders get featured organically in top-tier media without needing PR connections or a large social media following. Her strategies have earned small businesses nearly every industry over a billion organic views and features in outlets like The New York Times, Oprah's Favorite Things, Vogue, and Forbes without any pay-to-play options. Gloria shares how to write a compelling pitch to the media, how to pitch and find gift guides that happen year-round, how to find the right journalist to pitch, and so much more. Today's episode is brought to you by Princewell, who is a sponsor of our PaperCamp program. Princewell has helped stationers for 35 years grow their business with premium paper products, modern printing solutions, and best-in-class customer service. They have top-tier paper products at wholesale prices. They do branded drop shipping. They even have foil and white printing available, and fast turnaround times. Our PaperCamp students receive an exclusive discount on Princewell services, and you can learn more about Princewell services at princewell.com. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Gloria, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about who you are, who you serve, and how you help people.
So I am on a mission to make PR accessible for product makers. But a little bit about me, I am from LA. I live in Brooklyn, where my East Coaster's at. And I have a very untraditional pathway into PR. I always say I was an outsider who kind of just hacked it. I actually used to be a US diplomat. So I never worked a day in my life in any agency, whether it's PR or marketing. And I started, I kid you not, I had to cold call by putting in Google newsroom operator of New York Times. And I had to cold call thousands of times to get my unknown clients featured in all of the best magazines and things. Because again, I never studied journalism. So I think that doing it this way and not being in the insiders club, now I've just really made it a mission to say, well, actually it is available to us and journalists want to hear from us. And this is how you can hack it on the outside too.
For sure. So my first job out of college was at a PR agency. We did high-tech PR. And I hear what you're saying about like you getting scrappy and doing what you needed to do to connect with the right people. You know, I was taught in a certain way and kind of had to tear that down when I was going into my own business and kind of reinvent my own way of doing PR. And so I hear what you're saying about like the scrappiness. I love that your experience there. Okay. I know that you've said that PR can be even more effective than social media or influencers or paid ads for product businesses. How so? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So I think for the longest time, we just felt like PR wasn't accessible to us, right? Because it's like, well, I either pay an agency 10 grand a month for 6 months, or I use that somewhere else. So of course, being gatekept, product owners are like, well, I'm just going to put it into paid ads. But PR, what I mean is like organic PR, not those scammy DMs that you get to get featured in a random local station, but like actually getting featured in like a BuzzFeed or a Wirecutter or an Oprah's Favorite Things, which is absolutely possible and available. There is not a better leveraged activity that you can do because it gives you SEO. So like powerful backlinks that stand the test of time, and you're not susceptible to an algorithm or being hacked or banned on Instagram. And also like with influencers, you're not susceptible to their volatility of their reputation. Like sometimes influencers are on the platform and they're not. We all have been seeing what's happening with TikTok. And also with ads, we know that with privacy blockers and the way that things are going, ads have exponentially increased, I think like 400% in the last few years. So out of all these things, if I'm trying to check as many boxes as possible, searchability, credibility, traffic, sales. PR is the one thing that really checks all of those boxes at once.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you do a lot with your clients about gift guides, and we've talked about that here on the show a little bit in the past. But what are some of the year-round opportunities that product-based business owners can pitch for?
So good. I love what you said about gift guides, because I think when we think about gift guides, we're like, oh, well, it's Christmas time. And it's absolutely not true, because we know as consumers scrolling on our phones, there are articles and shopping recommendations and gifts for her and gifts for him and best things to take on your next vacation. Like, there are people writing about products all year round. And so they can be listicles, it can be a gift, or it can be something you want for yourself, or it could be here are the 10 best skin oils, right? This content is going to be churned out with or without you. And this is actually one of the easiest things for them to write. And so why not put your name in the hat? I always say to my PR students, like, why not you? So all year round, journalists are writing about it. But I think we're just not taught how to go with the seasonality of the news. And we're thinking, okay, well, I can only get featured during Christmas. But you step back and you realize that even if you just have one product, it's about tying it to that relevancy and highlighting maybe the specific ingredients or the product for that season. So I'll give you an example. If you make skincare or personal care, you might have 5 or 50 products, but pitch the one that's going to be citrusy and light for summer. You're not going to be doing something that's like really rich and oily for the summer, right? If you're in food and beverage, if you make something that with hot sauce, like there's so many Valentine's Day angles and even like winter warming angles. So think about also pop culture. We have someone, you know, who's in bridal. And like, I know that Nicole Richie's wedding was like really popular. So maybe it's something with what's happening with a celebrity. And also with fitness, there's so many TikTok and social media trends on like fitness and things. So it's really about thinking not about your benefits and features, but the broader scope of what consumers are looking for, whether that's seasonal, whether that's beginning of the year, whether that's warm winter, whether that's summer, spring. So I want you to start to think in terms of that, instead of, okay, here is why a customer would buy it. Because the journalist is not your customer. The journalist will never buy from you. So we really need to just approach the way that we market to journalists in a completely different way. And I'm going to show you how to do that.
I would love for you to share. Well, let me back this train up a minute. You mentioned you need to focus on pitching one product, not your entire collection. I think that's a huge misstep that a lot of product brands make when they are pitching the press. Do you want to talk about why that's such a misstep?
Yeah, because again, remember, the journalist is not your customer. So the more you talk to them like they're your customer, buy this, here's a coupon code for you, the more it's going to end up in the trash. Or they might say, well, if you want to get an ad, I'll happily connect you to our ads department who's happy to take your money. And so if we want to be scrappy, if we want to bypass that, we have to think in terms of what are the buckets or categories of things that journalists are writing for. And it's probably not going to be 50 different items. It's going to be one item that you are going to be on a list with 10 other people, right, for that remedy. So it could be trending ingredients. It could be minimalist or maximalist skincare. It could be best K-beauty for glass skin. It could be vegan supplements that don't contain whatever. So think about in all of the things that you sell, what is the best thing you want to highlight for that season? And even if you sell one thing, we have a lot of like people who do subscription boxes. So we have someone who does home decor. She got featured over and over again for one box. And it was one that was like a really cheeky one from Apartment Therapy that was like best gift for the newly divorced dad in your life. And the same product was also for the best housewarming gift for the new millennial couple, right? So just be creative with it. And the more you start to think in that way, the more you realize like, oh my God, there's so many angles available to me.
Yeah, it can be the same product, but you're just positioning it in different ways. Exactly. Okay, what a lot of our listeners likely don't have a lot of media connections right now. So you mentioned you have a system and a process for folks to pitch themselves and also potentially to research who the best people to target are. Yeah. Can you share some of that with our listeners?
Yeah, I love how you're like no fluff, like getting into it, because the fast talking New Yorker in me loves that too. So at its core, because remember, I never worked at a PR agency. I didn't have fancy buddies to call up. I realized that PR is really two things. It's writing a good pitch and sending it to the right people. Notice how I said good pitch, not newsworthy, because I don't think there's such a thing as a newsworthy person or company. Like, you are newsworthy, period. Like, I've written stuff for toilet paper and bath salts and also AI software. So it's not about the newsworthiness. It's not about how many followers you have. It's about, are you pitching for the storyline that the journalist is writing for? So let's talk about the pitch, right? A lot of times, again, we don't know how to do this because no one has made it accessible. And so our default is to talk about the benefits and features and give them everything. But what you want to do is single out, like you said, one product perfect for that season. And from pitching thousands of times without any like connections, I started to pick up on patterns on when that pitch would be answered to. And it usually contained these three elements. This is my CPR pitching method. So if you're multitasking, come back to me. This is very important. C stands for credibility. One sentence, usually at the end of the email, why you're pitching. And no, you don't need to be featured before. It could be as simple as, we are a mom and daughter team that whipped this up in our kitchen because my daughter suffers from eczema. That's it, right? And then P in CPR stands for point of view. It's usually three bullet points about a problem or an insight or a tip or something or features about your product. And then R in CPR stands for relevance. And so the email usually goes like this. So we start with the subject line. The subject line is the most important thing that gets it open. So the subject line should not contain your name, the word pitch, or your company name because the journalist doesn't know you. What we want to do is be very specific that almost kind of like reads like an article title. So for example, sample available, best new glass skin serum for that dewy look this winter. You see what I mean? Like if you have a sample, put it in there. Or if you're pitching something for like a stocking stuffer, if it's low ticket or high ticket, put that in there. But you want it to almost read like an article title and not about you, right? So that's the first thing. And I have a whole training about this in my program, but that's really the thing. And then you want to go into the email and you want to start with the relevance first in CPR, because what is news if it's not relevant? So instead of saying, I am so-and-so and we started this company because 15 years ago, like, no, you want to start with as your customers are looking for light and refreshing recipes this summer for their barbecue, our non-alcoholic cucumber elixir is perfect pairing with greasier dishes. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you are talking about your product, but you're talking it through the lens of what is that, how can you be a solution for consumers right now?
Yeah. And you're painting a picture. They're able to see themselves in it. They're able to see their readers in it. That's cool.
Exactly. And I have, you know, there's like 10 angles that I love, but that's like one way to do it, right? Is the seasonality of it. Another thing you can do is like start with a data point. So like if the FDA just found that this clean beauty ingredient is actually quite toxic, you can put that there. Like I know that right now there's a lot of talk about how kale is actually very not good for you. And I eat a lot of kale. So like, if you do something like that, you could say like, you know, kale is not great. So things like that, that's also one of the 10. And then the point of view is usually three bullet points after the first or three sentences of relevance. That's like, that's why our cucumber elixir is perfect for your backyard barbecue this July 4th. One, it is made with ingredients without sugar. Two, it's perfect because it's, you know, non-GMO or whatever, right? Three, we donate 5% to like alcohol rehab addiction recovery. So well, whatever that is, it could be three things about your product, or it could be three ways to use it in a recipe.
Mm.
And so all of those things, it could be like, here are three flavors that I am seeing that is trending in like backyard barbecues. One, cucumber. Two, lemon. Three, cinnamon. And like your product could be one of the three.
Yeah.
I like threes and I like bullet points because it gives them just enough to show that you have an idea of what you're talking about, but not an exhaustive list that just makes them exhausted, right?
Totally.
And then you conclude the email with like, you know, we are founded in Nashville. There's a little bit about us. Use hyperlinks. Do not attach all these photos. If you make a product, put one photo, right? Because it's a visual medium. They want to know it has a good packaging, which is very important, but don't attach these big files. That's going to trigger their spam filter. So what you want to do in your concluding sentence is like, you know, we're happy to send samples. Here's our affiliate link if you have one. You don't always need one, but I do feel like a lot of journalists are going that route where you can create a win-win. You can get share a sale, for example, or if you're on Amazon, like put that there. And then put, you know, to find out more about us and high resolution photos, here's a link. And that link can go somewhere else. And then, you know, I'm happy to chat and offer you a sample. Here's how I can be contacted. Boom, that's it. Do you see how the energy of that is very clean? It's not like, we're desperate. We don't want to pay for an ad. Please feature us. No, it's like, here's what your customers are looking for. And here's why this is a natural thing that people are looking for anyways, because it's trending on TikTok because Julia Roberts did it. So always start with the relevance.
I love that you're saying this. I see a lot of synergies between how we also pitch our wholesale accounts when we're talking to my product folks of like, let's not make it about us. Let's make it about them. And then at the end, let's talk about who we are and why this matters. But this is really helpful. Thank you, Gloria. I love too the bullet points and the scannability piece of this because again, we have such a limited amount of time to capture people's attention and having the bullet points just makes it easier for them to say, oh, yep, this is relevant for me or nope, it's not. So that's really helpful too.
Bullet points, hyperlink, and one clean photo.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So listening to you and kind of gathering my own thoughts on this and also just my own experience, it sounds like missed opportunities or places where people go wrong are including too many photos where things get blocked, maybe pitching too many different products rather than just focusing on one. And then what are some other issues or common mistakes that you see folks make when they're pitching to the press?
Way too long of an email about your backstory. And it's like, no, like they need some information, right? And I'm glad you said that because your pitch, if it's for a product or gift guide, it needs to have these things at a minimum. So one of them is it available on your website or is it only available at Macy's and Whole Foods? How much is it? So they know if it's a luxury thing or if it's a stocking stuffer. Some people only write budget fine. Some people don't, right? So put the price where it's available, hyperlink it, and also tell them about shipping. Is it a made to order or is it ready? Is it shipping to US and Canada? Is it shipping to Hawaii? Like all those things need to be in the pitch. And also I'll tell you a little bit about samples because I get asked this a lot. And like, I don't necessarily think you need to give away a lot of free merch, right? That's kind of the territory of these like scammy influencers. But if it is low cost for you, a lot of times a journalist will want to test it out if they're going to recommend it as a skin oil. So if it's lower cost to you, you don't have to give them like a full size sample. You can give them like a small sample of it. If you make something very expensive, like we have someone who makes like a beautiful real kitchen for kids, that's like $800. So she's not going to be sending that to everybody, but there is a way to gather some interest because one, if that person writes for like a really, like if this person writes for like Martha Stewart or like Vogue or Allure, you can give it to them and kind of loan it to them, right? And you build that relationship. Or you can give them kind of a behind the scenes, whether it's like video or audio or something like that. So I think there's always a way, but I think offering samples and putting that in the actual subject line a lot of times does move the needle.
Yeah, I love that subject line suggestion, samples available. Yeah. I think, and two, as you mentioned, for something that's more on the luxurious side or it's just cumbersome and it's not something you can ship easily, I really like the idea of videos, demos and things like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. And like, if you have a fur coat, like you're not going to send a fur, but maybe a swatch.
Right.
And like, here's how I would style it.
Ooh, style guide. That's a great idea. Cool. Okay. I know you're big on accessibility for PR and wanting brands to understand that like they don't have to hire a huge agency to do this stuff. But also I know that a lot of our audience listening right now is like, oh my God, I can't do another thing. Like my plate is too full. So like, what do you tell them in terms of how do you balance, like when is a good time to perhaps find help for this sort of thing, whether it's through someone like you or an independent person or an agency, like what's your recommendations there?
Yeah, I will say that we're so trained to just do the things that are very low level that won't give us an ROI. So things like, I'm not saying there's no place for social media, but our default is always that quick hit of dopamine and refresh, refresh, refresh when like you could be spending that same amount of time writing a pitch and sending it out. So it's really about like reorientating as CEOs and asking ourselves, what is the highest ROI for my time? And am I creating an asset? Am I building a skill? Or am I just feeding into this nonstop Mark Zuckerberg machine of content that they're later going to sell and advertise to us too, right?
Yes.
So of course, it's not as fun, right? To be like, oh, I'm going to write a pitch today and send it to a journalist. But if you can do that, you will become such an amazing communicator for wholesale. You will become such a better advocate for yourself for speaking. Like there's so many tangential things that you become better at as a CEO who really knows how to advocate for yourself. Yeah. And of course you can delegate the system. So like if you can do an Instagram post, you can find three journalists on Instagram. If you can write one pitch for whatever, a partnership, you can write a pitch for PR. So it's really just about working smarter and not harder and not thinking, oh, this is just one more thing I need to add to the plate. But like, what if it's the one foundation? If like everything goes away tomorrow, Meta, TikTok, ads, you still can rely on your SEO. And so that is something I would do all day. So yes, let's talk about the actual nuts and bolts of it. We talked about how to write a pitch. Now let's talk about who to send it to, which is important. And a lot of times people are like, well, I'm just going to send it to like info@buzzfeed.com or like editor. Like, no, honey, like they're not reading your emails. That's going into an internet black hole. So what you want to do is figure out who is the journalist covering that beat. So if you want to be in a gift guide, a listicle, a shopping guide, look for someone with the word commerce or shopping in their title. So assistant commerce editor, shopping editor, those are the people who are doing those guides. And the great thing about that is that like, they're not actually churning out really brand new ones. They're just updating it. So those categories, like pet gifts, gifts for her, like those are going to be around every single year and you know, they're going to write it. They're just going to update it. So why not just put your name in the hat, right? now you might be asking, okay, well, I don't know these journalists. How the hell am I going to find them? So there's ways you can start doing that in a grassroots way. One thing I want you to do is set up a Google News Alert. Literally type in the search box, Google News Alert. It's a free service where Google will send you all of the articles every single day published about your keywords, whether it's golf, children's toys, sustainability. And you can start to train your brain to think in terms of headlines and not benefits and features. Because remember what we talked about. And then it's as simple as copy and pasting the journalist's first and last name and email, because this is all public information, into an ever-expanding library in your own Google Doc. Now, obviously, in our program, we have a database of 100,000 journalists across 100 different beats, but you can start to do this by yourself, right? You can also sign up for things like Sources of Sources, which replace Haro. Go to sourcesofsources.com. And every day there's like journalist inquiries. There's also things like Quoted, where you can, you know, they kind of get aggressive with their upsells, but there is a free version where like people are looking for people to interview. And if you fit that identity or that story, then you can pitch. But also remember, like, you want to pitch in a way that's succinct and you want to follow the instructions, because it'll tell you, like, I'm looking for someone that can send samples by this date and this is a deadline. And so you want to read through that so you're not wasting your time. You can also follow hashtags on social media. So LinkedIn, Instagram, X, things like journal request. And also don't forget that like all of these writers are writers. So you can find their writing. And what better way to connect with a journalist than stroking their ego and say, I loved that Mother's Gifts recommendation. I actually bought one of the things. We also make something. If you're writing it this year, I'd love to introduce you to our brand. Right? It's a great way to break the ice. And you can also message them on DMs too. Like a lot of times on Instagram, you'll see in their title, whether they're an entrepreneur or journalist. And you can literally follow like hashtags, like beauty or news or whatever. So I just think that we're on Instagram and all these things anyway. Like, why not take 3 minutes out of your time and like follow one new journalist a day?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, those are great tips. I took a few notes. I didn't realize Haro had switched over to
Sources.
I haven't been following close enough. Very cool. Okay, let's talk about expectations and like timelines for press, because this kind of press can take time and it's not instantaneous like social media of posting and getting that dopamine hit of seeing instant responses. So what kind of expectations should businesses have when it comes to ROI and getting, you know, connections and features?
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of times we just kind of spray and pray without actually doing the work of like, is my pitch good? So In my program, it's like, you can send an email to like 50 different journalists, but like if your pitch is not super good, then you're just wasting your time. So we always want to do the hard work first of knowing how to write a pitch. Again, a lifelong skill that you're going to build. And we have people getting responses right away. We have people getting featured in 24 hours. We have people getting featured 6 months later. Here's the thing. We don't have a crystal ball of like, here's what the editorial calendar looks like. But if you don't ever pitch, then your name will never be drawn. I actually have the top 1% of journalists coming into my program, and I actually ask them to screen share their email inbox. And they tell me that they have a meticulous way of filing things away, even though they will never respond to a pitch, because you'll never know when they're going to write about socks or pillows. So you need to do the job of writing a pitch and sending it out, because if that day comes, they're going to do a search and they're going to message you and contact you. Now, in terms of like general timeline, right? Let's just talk about Christmas gift guides. If it's like an Oprah magazine, if it's print, it's usually 6 months in advance. And you know, if you go on these websites like House Beautiful, for example, they actually share the editorial calendar of like basic things that, you know, spring, refresh, paint colors, mostly, you know, you can follow that. But then, you know, like in the holidays, if you want something that's SEO optimized, like a digital gift guide, then you can probably start pitching starting from September. So I wouldn't pitch like before that, because then They're on vacation, but like start to get your pitch ready, and you want to pitch like 2 months-ish out. 2 or 3 months-ish out. What you don't want to do is like wait until you've launched and then say, hey, I'm here. But then you didn't actually like do the job to like connect with the journalist. So first step first is, I'll repeat, get your pitch really good with CPR. Know how to write the pitch. And once you have the structure of the pitch, you'll be able to reuse it. And it's just as simple as changing the Mother's Day into Father's Day or whatever, right? But you have a pitch that you can use all year round. And then afterwards, you pair that with your media list. And you start sending, and you can keep refreshing your angles, because the news is constantly moving forward. So one day, if you pitch for Valentine's Day and that has passed, guess what? There's Easter, there's spring, there's graduation. So don't think that just because it didn't, you know, message you, it's dead in the water. There's always a season and a reason for you to be top of mind.
Love that. Love that. Okay. I know you have a free training that you want to share with our audience. Tell us about it. What do you cover in that training, and what will people learn?
Yeah. So I'm all about not gatekeeping information and telling people the stuff that they can do. And I have a free masterclass that actually shows you word for word a screenshot of a pitch from the subject line to the very last sentence of someone who got featured 12 times. So It's really like no gatekeeping here. And you can watch it for free on demand right now at GloriaCHOUPR.com/masterclass. I also have my own podcast called Small Business PR, where I actually interview the people at BuzzFeed, at Vogue, New York Times of like, what are you writing this season? And so they tell me. So those are some great resources and a special gift for your audience. If you DM me the word product on Instagram at GloriaCHOUPR, I will give you an additional pitching freebie so you can take your first stab at your pitch.
Awesome. We will include all of that in the show notes so folks can easily connect with you. Do you want to also share? I mean, you shared your website, you shared your socials. Is there anywhere else you want them to be connecting and learning from?
No, I'm really an open book. So DM me anytime, but really like there's no higher work that will pay off. Again, it's not as sexy as posting like an Instagram thing. But if you learn how to advocate for yourself, if you learn how to go after the opportunities to become a better communicator, like everything will flourish from there. What, like you said, for wholesale, for retail, for everything. And it starts with knowing how to position yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And you build confidence too. The more you do it, the easier it gets and
life-changing.
The more fun it becomes too. So Gloria, this was amazing. Thank you so much for this rich conversation and also concrete tactical strategies that folks can implement right away. We really appreciate you being here and for sharing your knowledge with us.
Thanks.
It is always fascinating to learn new ways to grow our brand's visibility. So thank you to Gloria for joining me today and for sharing all these great nuggets with us. You can find all of Gloria's links in our show notes if you'd like to learn more about her services and resources. And also, if you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend and consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast player. You can do that by going to ratethispodcast.com/PTP for proof to product. Again, that's ratethispodcast.com/PTP. Your reviews help our show gain more visibility and tell the podcast feeds to share our show with other people who have similar interests to you. So more listeners mean that we can continue to bring you high quality guests who can help you grow your business. Again, you can leave that 5-star rating and review at ratethispodcast.com/PTP for proof to product. All right, friends, thanks for listening until the end of today's podcast episode. I'll be back next week with a new episode.